My personality was to blame.
What kind of call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Our very own Monday afternoon quarterback.
Your mom digs it.
Analyst for the NFL Today on CBS.
You know, I know it's always about the quarterbacks, at least up here. It's always about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, right. You know, Boomer, I just got to say, we all know it's always about you. So let's clear that up.
You know, that's taunting right there.
That's taunting.
Boomer Esiason with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Boomer Esiason joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is one of the hardest working men in sports media, Spiegs. But today, Boomer Esiason might have his toughest job yet, because when he comes on as our Monday afternoon quarterback, he normally gives us national perspective, you know, even-keeled, rational takes based from years and years of experience. And frankly, he often makes me feel better about the Bears' incompetence. Justin Fields was sacked 9 times, and they had 1 passing yard, and he had 6 completions. Boomer, I do not know if you can make me feel any better about what happened yesterday, but I'd love to see you try, my friend.
Well, I've had a few tequilas. It's going to make me feel good today. I had my golf tournament here in Long Island, so I appreciate you guys moving my time back to 6 o'clock tonight. But, you know, Danny, you said you wanted to see Justin Fields, and I tried to talk you off the ledge last week and supporting all of this, because the kid he's just not ready. And especially when you play on the road against a good defense, and we could sit here and discuss the offensive line, we could discuss the running game, we could discuss the game plan and how you want to tailor it to the quarterback. But if the quarterback's not ready and the quarterback is incapable of handling it, you're going to have exactly what you saw last week. And I lived this this exact type of thing. Back in 1992, my last year in Cincinnati, I was being replaced by a guy by the name of David Klingler. He was drafted number 4, I think, overall in that draft. And it was late in the year that year, and he took over for me, I think, with about 5 weeks to go in the season. And we played the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were coached at that time by Bill Cowher. So anyway, they were running the 34 defense. And the night before the game, I'll never forget this, he asked me a question about a particular blitz, and I'm like, they didn't go over this with you? You can't understand exactly what they were saying. He goes, no, can you tell me a little bit more about it? So I had to go over all the different pass protections that we had for the 34 defense, which is very difficult to block, especially when you're playing a team that's really good and has really good pass rushers. And I'll never forget the morning of the game, the coaches come in and they say, I said to them, I don't think he understands what you're trying to say when it comes to pass blocking and what you're trying to get done here. And so the game gets on, and lo and behold, Bill Cowher basically blitzes David Klingler the entire first half. And I think they ended up the game with 11 sacks. And I'm standing on the sideline kind of laughing under my breath saying, he has no idea what he's doing. And he has really no reason to be out on the field other than the fact that we were out of the playoffs. My time had come to an end in Cincinnati, but he just wasn't ready. I mean, and not everybody can be ready. And I'm watching this game yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and blame the offensive line. I'm not going to blame the coaches. I'm going to blame the pressure that has been put on the Chicago Bears front office to play a kid who's obviously not ready to step on an NFL football field. And I pray to God that he doesn't get hurt. And Danny, I think you're part of that pressure, because I think you echo the fan base. You want to see Justin Fields because you know the kid can be great, but he has to know what he's doing before he can be great. And what we saw yesterday against a really good defense was really a disaster of epic proportions. I mean, the other rookie quarterbacks all struggled yesterday, but not like Justin did yesterday. So I just think he needs to go to the bench. He needs to practice. They need to develop him. And maybe, just maybe, week 10, week 11, week 12, maybe by then he'll understand some of the concepts that are in that offensive game plan, and he will not be the reason that they lose. He'll be the reason that they win, because right now, he is clearly not ready.
That's great stuff after a few tequilas. Very impressive. So would you have played Nick Foles? Because they're playing Justin Fields because Andy Dalton is hurt, obviously. You would have played Foles then over that version of Justin Fields?
See, they can't play Foles right now because of the politics of the whole thing. Hey, we drafted this guy. We love this guy. We traded up to get him. He's our guy. You know, we're going to have to play him. Andy's hurt. You know, quite frankly, if they would have played Nick Foles, I would have called in today. They would have gotten beat yesterday, no matter who their quarterback was, because Cleveland's got one of the better teams in the NFL and one of the better pass rushes in the NFL,
correct,
as we saw yesterday. But I do think that Nick Foles would have gotten rid of the ball. He would have settled everybody down. You have to understand, the five guys that are standing in front of the quarterback need to know that the quarterback knows what he's looking at. And they check pass protections all the time at the line of scrimmage. You don't see that. You don't hear it. This is why they're always pointing out who the mic is and where the strength of the offense and the defense is. And even remember that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers said, you know, I can't believe that linebackers are going to be allowed to change their numbers now because that's going to screw us up. Well, that's all about pass protection and who's blocking who. And when you have a rookie back there that has no idea what he is doing, this is what it's going to look like, especially against a good team. So I'm not blaming Matt Nagy. I'm not, you know, I'm just, it's a circumstance. And the circumstance is such that everybody wanted to see Justin play. Now we all realize that Justin's not ready. I don't think his next game will be as bad as this one. But if you want to win games and you think you have a winning team, and I think the defense is really a pretty good defense, then you got to play a veteran quarterback that gives you the best chance to win now. And then when you get to week 10 or 11 or 12, and if you're in it, you stay with the guys that know what they're doing. And if you're not in it and you want to take a look at a guy, then you can put him in there and you can try to simplify the offense so he can feel comfortable and play football as opposed to looking at the pass rush and getting steamrolled.
Hey, Boomer, I think probably about 95% of the criticism and anger from Bears fans in this town is towards Matt Nagy today, because he did not give Fields a chance to get reps with the ones all through camp and all through practice until this last week. And because he talked a big game about adjusting the scheme, but there were two quarterback rollouts. Everything else was from the pocket. He like put Fields back there with the same kind of Dalton game plan. So your assessment, putting it at the feet of Fields, goes against a lot of what the thought has been here in town. Is it more the player's responsibility than the coach's responsibility to be ready?
You know, Matt, I'm just trying to tell you what the reality of the situation is. He's not ready. I mean, I don't understand. Fans should know like what a game plan and what a playbook look like. You know, I used to have an actual playbook. Now they do it on the iPads. It is so complicated. I mean, it's not just, you know, two wide receivers, a tight end, and two running backs. I mean, and six guys blocking, or five guys blocking, or seven guys blocking, or play action pass and bootlegs and, you know, there is so many things that these kids have got to learn. You know, when he was at Ohio State, they supposedly had 20 hours of football a week, and then the rest was supposed to be class. And he had the best team on the field every single day he stepped on the field. And they were able to put the ball in the right hash or the left hash, and the field was wide open. Wide receivers run wide open in college football. In the NFL, that's not the case. There are tight windows to throw into. There is movement on the defensive line. Linebackers and safeties are interchanging in their coverages. There are safety blitzes. There are corner blitzes. There are double Mike Sam blitzes. There are Will blitzes. You know, Myles Garrett is dropping off in coverage, and all of a sudden a corner's coming off the wide receiver to, you know, Justin's backside. I mean, there's all these things that are going on that he has never, ever seen before. And I remember that day after David Klinger just got absolutely wiped out by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And David Shula comes to me, he goes, you know, maybe we should put you back in there. I'm like, well, you know, it's too late now. I mean, you have already made the decision. You got to give this kid a chance at this point. It's late in the season. I'm not going to be here next year. And you got to find out whether or not he can play. And you at least let him have a sense of what the speed is. But I would suggest that you really curtail all the different things that we were doing at the line of scrimmage with me, who had been in the league for 9 years. So what I saw yesterday was just a kid that's not ready. It's as simple as that, Matt. It's literally as simple as that. And Nick Foles knows what he's doing. Andy Dalton knows what he's doing. I know it's frustrating. I'm dealing with it here in New York with Zach Wilson, too. It's the same thing.
All the young quarterbacks, Boomer. All the young quarterbacks have been bad. They're 1-10 as a group this weekend. It was historically bad. But go ahead. Wilson has been.
Yeah, but I was just going to say about Zach Wilson. He doesn't have a veteran quarterback on this roster. I mean, they're going with him regardless of what happens day in and day out. And he's getting killed back there. He may not make it through the season. And that's, I always go back to that. Can these kids protect themselves? And yesterday, you know, Justin Fields, I mean, just if you manage the game the way that a veteran quarterback can manage the game, maybe it's not 9 sacks. Maybe it's 5 sacks. And I know that's not great. That's not what you want. But you guys asked for it, and you got it. And I told you last week this was going to be a tough game for him. I didn't think it was to be this tough, but it turned out to be just an absolute nightmare. And he needs time. That's all he needs is time. And when he comes back next year, he'll be a much different player than he is this year, but he's going to have to fight through some of these tough games if they continue to play him.
Boomer, it just never dawned on me that they would drop Fields back to pass 30 times and max protect twice. That they're blocking tight ends, Jesse James, who Fields connected with multiple times in the preseason, would take one snap in the game. Like, they have Jermaine Ifedi, a failed right guard, playing right tackle, and they have Jason Peters, a 39-year-old who was retired and fishing when the Bears called him, at left tackle, going up against Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett on the road. Like, they were so mismatched at tackle, I would have thought that, yes, okay, the quarterback is supposed to recognize and move scheme and do checks and protections and all that stuff. You understand it a million times better than I do. But I guess I would have thought that Matt Nagy would have helped out the quarterback a little bit and given him some extra protection to, you know, not get him killed back there.
Yeah, it's a nightmare matchup, and the Cleveland Browns will be a nightmare matchup for a lot of teams. There's no question about that. There will be a lot of tackles that struggle against them, and, you know, we know that. You know, going into yesterday's game, and we even talked about it on the NFL Today, is like, you know, this is a game that you don't really have to talk about because there's really nothing to say other than I hope Justin Fields gets through the game and he gets through the game healthy. You know, those older guys, this goes to show you the dearth of starting tackles in the league and how difficult it is to play that position against supreme talent. Now, Jadeveon is not what he used to be, but Myles Garrett is the closest thing to Bruce Smith that we have seen in this league. I mean, and what I mean by that is you have a guy that is basically 6'6", 275 pounds, that can bend like Gumby around the corner, and you've got a 39-year-old trying to block him. It's almost impossible. So you got to do things to obviously, you know, kind of mitigate his impact on the game. But then there are those great players that are just going to take over the game. And we hear the name or the term game wrecker. And that's exactly what he was yesterday. But I'm just telling you, I don't expect the Bears offense, no matter who their quarterback is, to put up 400 yards and 35 points. That's not who they are. You know, they're a 20 to 27 point team, and their defense has got to win their games, and they can't screw up on special teams. That's how they have to win. You know, they don't have Justin Herbert as a quarterback or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It's the reality of the situation. So I hope Justin grows into being a great quarterback for the Bears. But what happened on Sunday is not a surprise to me, especially given, you know, their weaknesses, especially on the offensive line and just how thin it really is. And just gets exposed even more when you have a rookie back there that can't get rid of the ball, that holds on to it. And we can blame the coach all we want, the scheme, you know, maybe some of the players around them. But, man, you got to know what you're doing when you're on the field, or your team doesn't have a chance. And everybody in the locker room knows it, by the way. Everybody in that locker room knows it.
It's interesting because we've been thinking that maybe they know that the coach didn't do them any favors as well. But this is great stuff from the quarterback, Boomer Esiason. So when you're watching Zach Wilson take the damage that he's taking, Lord knows he took a lot more yesterday and threw the ball into harm's way a few times, and Fields and your guy David Klingler out of Houston back in the day, were they damaged mentally as well? You know, is the danger to be damaged mentally and psychologically as well as physically? When you talk about Zach Wilson and Fields, are you afraid of that kind of damage?
Well, I don't know them personally, so it's hard to really get a handle on that. I know David Klingler, and I remember what it was like, and it was not pretty. And he never really took hold in Cincinnati. They tried, and then they tried with Achilles Smith, and they failed there. You know, and then, of course, Carson Palmer came in, and he sat for a year. He sat behind I forget who he sat behind, but he sat for a year in Cincinnati and didn't play at all his rookie year, and he was the first overall draft pick. So everybody's a little bit different about how they understand and learn. You know, we know this just from raising our kids. And I just the NFL offense is so complicated, and it's so difficult to be able to play without your brain getting in front of you because you're seeing things for the first time, that it also impacts negatively the other players that you're playing with. You know, so if you're a top flight wide receiver or you're a top flight running back and you're Allen Robinson, you're running down the field and you're running your comeback at 16 to 18 yards and you want that ball right now, and all of a sudden that ball comes late and then the DB jumps it and knocks it away from you or picks it off and goes for a pick six, you're like, geez, man, I don't have a chance. So the morale, I'm sure, is probably a little bit, I would say, down right now for the offense, because yesterday was, let's call it what it was. It was an ass kicking, and they had no shot. They had no shot to move the ball, and that's what's going on with the Jets here in New York. And the Jets don't have a backup plan for Zach Wilson. I mean, they're throwing him out there with a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie head coach. He's a rookie himself. There's no backup for him to go to and talk to that has gone through what he's going through right now. And I just don't see the opportunity for immediate success under those circumstances. And I could probably say the same thing for Justin, but at least he has Andy and he has Nick there. And those guys are good guys. They're not bad guys. But, man, I'll tell you, yesterday, if it showed us anything, it showed us that he's just not ready. And it's not all about the coach, and it's not all about the offensive line. It's about the individual himself and how prepared he is to step on an NFL football field.
Boomer, so, man, was not exactly expecting this, but I love the differing opinions, honestly, because it's fascinating to me, because I think what's going to happen here is Dalton won't be ready to play. Like you said, they can't start Fields. They'll be at home. They'll play the
Lions.
Can't start Foles. They'll start Fields. They'll be at home. They'll play against the Lions. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't scream at anyone. He handled it very well post game. He seems to be relatively unflappable. Thankfully, like you said, he didn't get hurt, and he'll look better against Detroit. And so I believe that it's good to like get learning experiences, and that will not stunt his development. So I guess my question is, like, do you believe that hurts his development, does nothing for his development, or that you can learn from an ass-kicking like that? Because I believe he plays next week, will play better, and then Matt Nagy will be faced in 2 weeks of, do I play Andy Dalton on the road against the Raiders, or do I play my rookie Justin Fields, who just had a better game against Detroit?
Well, I only hope he has a better game, and we all know Detroit is, you know, it's not a great team, but, you know, they got screwed yesterday. You know, they should have won the game, and Jared Goff is actually playing reasonably well for them. They've had so many injuries on defense.
Their right, I just mean for Fields. Basically. I just mean for Fields and against the Lions defense at home.
So he should play better. They should play better. Their own defense is going to play better. I wouldn't be surprised if their defense gets a couple turnovers and puts the offense in good field position, and then you can run your bootlegs, and you can run your play action with Montgomery, and you can hit your tight ends over and do all the simple things that, you know, that he can handle. There's no question about it. I'm really interested to see what they do this week. It's a team that they should match up well against. There's no great pass rushers over there. There's a solid team. Dan Campbell's got them playing hard. There's no question about it. But I would tell you that Chicago's defense played really well this week. You know, but when you're on defense and your offense is just getting steamrolled the whole entire game for four quarters, you know, sooner or later the morale on the defensive side actually lets down as well. So, I mean, it's a conundrum. It really is. Only they know internally whether or not Justin can really handle it. And if they really are true to themselves and understand that they don't want to put this kid in harm's way, they would play Nick Foles if Andy Dalton's not ready. You know, man. But I know that the fans there want to see Justin. I see this, the politics of this league that I hate, because guys get on the field when they don't deserve to be on the field or aren't ready to be on the field, especially at our position. And I'm going to leave you with this, guys, because I played four games my rookie year. And I know this for a fact, that I had no idea what I was doing. And, you know, they had to go back to Kenny Anderson a couple times. So I'm just telling you, this is the reality of the position.
Well, I guess we'll never know if you would have had a better career if you hadn't played those four games, or if Carson Palmer would have been just as good if he didn't sit behind John Kitna for that season.
That's right, John Kitna. That's who it was.
Yeah, you know,
I sat behind Kenny Anderson for a year.
He was
sat behind him for a year.
He was awfully good, Kenny Anderson. So,
and he was so good to me, and he was kind to me, and he helped me.
It matters.
I'm just telling you guys, it's frustrating. I know, but I just don't think he's ready. I just don't. I really don't.
Thanks, Boomer.
We really appreciate the perspective. We hope that the golf tournament was a big success. Was it?
Yes, it was. It always is, yes.
Excellent. Boomer, thank
you. I'm sorry to bring you guys down. I'm sorry about it. I know I try to bring you up, but I'm just giving you the real taste of
great.
What I saw yesterday.
No, super valuable.
Honestly, fascinating. I hope you are proven wrong. And we will talk next week after the Lions game. Thank you, Boomer.
All right, guys. Have a good week, guys.
You thank too. You. That's Boomer Esiason.
Man, that is
fascinating.
It really is, because it's one thing to hear certain media guys say it, like Hub or Dan Pompey has written about it and guys like that. Then it's another to hear a guy who lived it, who actually lived the position as a rookie, didn't know what the hell he was doing for four games, lived it at the end when Klingler was taking time from him, and sees it with Zach Wilson every day,
too. And he's been critical of Nagy before. People on the text line saying that Boomer must be friends with Matt Nagy.
No, that's not it.
He's friends with Frank Reich, but he's been critical of Matt Nagy before.
This is the pervasive league-wide opinion. It has been at most of the time about young quarterbacks.
Right. I think it's deferential to how difficult. He called it our position.
Correct.
And you have to earn the job, not be given the job just because of your draft status. I think he's being deferential to veteran quarterbacks. And he respects Andy Dalton from the Cincinnati thing.
Sure. But it's also just, like you're saying, our position, the difficulty of the position, how hard it is. And this year is emboldening that perspective around the league. Those guys are 1-10 as starters.
There's a lot there. I want to process that a little bit more, because saying that was just a product of Fields not being ready ignores some harsh realities to me of that game, namely what we've talked about all day, which I mentioned to Boomer, the tackle mismatch of, yo, come on.
And the choices,
help.
Two rollouts out of 30 dropbacks, two times max protect out of 30 dropbacks.
Right. You got, because yes, of course, Fields is not ready to slide coverages, reckoning audible at the line of scrimmage. Adam Hoge asked him a question about, like, on the third and two on the pitch to the short side.
The toss sweep, did he have an option to get out of it?
And Matt Nagy said no. He's not there yet, which is totally normal for a rookie quarterback. Call the play that's called in the huddle. We're doing that for you. You just have to execute the mechanics of play call. But so you've got to help him out. And Matt Nagy did not help him out.
Not only did he not help him out, he didn't get him ready with all that time.
Right.
And that's the thing that drives me crazy. Because you know what? Frankly, if you were that committed to that plan and you're going to catch all this hell, put him third then. Put him third and take it off the table. And then it's not even a thing. Then Nick Foles is out there and Fields is still learning.
But he wants to use him. See, people say that, and I Lawrence said it. Trey Lance got in yesterday for Jimmy Garoppolo. First play, scores a touchdown because he's faster than Jimmy G.
Okay.
You want to have the – if you got the 4-4 quarterback and you're just going to make him inactive and you're trying to win games, that seems silly to me too.
Who's the third quarterback in San Francisco?
I assume they do not dress three quarterbacks.
No,
Most teams don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Most teams do not dress three quarterbacks on game day.
They don't even have a third one listed on the depth chart.
Right. So, you know, it's,
so,
you,
so they don't even have the option.
You can only dress 46.
Right.
So the Bears are keeping three, but dressing two.
Right.
So most teams are not keeping three quarterbacks active.
Okay.
They have an emergency
but
quarterback.
The thing is, you put him one play away, which means he needs to be ready. If he's not going to be ready to run your stuff, you got to be ready to adjust to him.
Of course. And they didn't get him ready for it. And that's the whole process to me, and it's also Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson. Like, there are young quarterbacks who have a modicum of success early.
Well, Boomer and the guard,
yeah.
The old guard, truly believe that those guys are outliers, clearly.
I think they were outliers 10-plus years ago. I don't think they're outliers for high prospects anymore.
Mm.
Like, this year's not looking good so far, but they also – They also have gone to a certain set of circumstances, right? Jaguars, one-win team. Jets,
right.
Incompetent.
And our two comps that work for different reasons for Fields, One is Russell Wilson, and they did tweak the offense dramatically. The other is Lamar Jackson, who went with some plays during his entire, didn't start, I don't think, until week, what, 12 or 13 of that year for Flacco?
Yeah.
So, and but again, they modified the offense dramatically. So you've got a situation here where Nagy, again, is not modifying the offense.
Right. That's definitely on Nagy. But the rookie quarterbacks this year, especially at the top, are set up in a particular set of circumstances to not have success on the field. Mm. They went to awful teams, new coaches, right? And then Trey Lance is the third FCS kid making the jump, not playing. And then Mac Jones and Justin Fields. Obviously, Bill Belichick isn't incompetent. He's the greatest coach to ever do it. But it seems like Matt Nagy might be. So these particular set of rookie quarterbacks are not really set up to have a bunch of success right now. And anyone want to sell me some Trevor Lawrence stock? I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I'll still bet on him being awesome.
He's throwing some crazy ugly picks.
Yeah.
Numbers are terrible right now.
Yeah. So you would have said the same thing, not you, but anyone would have said the same thing about Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning and Aikman, Elway with a bad start, Fran Tarkenton with a bad start,
no,
Steve Young.
No, I would
Young.
Not say that about Elway. Don't put those words in my mouth.
What?
I would not have bought stock on John Elway.
Big
Don't do that.
Big
I've always said that.
Guy.
You know that about me.
Yeah. Well, that's
true. My bad.
You're speaking generalities here.
That's because you like horse teeth. You've always been a big horse teeth guy.
Did you just tune back into the show and you decide, I'm going to comment on the first thing I hear?
He's been watching White Sox Post.
That's not fair. I mean, you make a comment like that about John Elway's first start. I remember we all sat and watched that game together. Yeah. We said, this guy is not going to be good. We all said it.
Back in 83?
Right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just glad you guys are
here. What part did we go to for that one?
We're at Mac's house.
We're in the man cave. The mini helmets were set up. It was beautiful.
And no, by the way, I'm always listening to the show. Thank you very much.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yes.
Got to tell you, we were so locked into conversation over here as the partners we are. I forgot you guys were here. I did.
Hey, we can make ourselves known real quick.
Whoa.
Yeah, you just did.
Yeah.
Just did. Here
what does that mean? Is it a threat?
Yeah, it was a threat.
We'll make ourselves known real quick.
Real careful.
Real careful now.
Be careful. Be careful in there on that side of the glass.
It's a careful threat.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah.
Those are the scariest guys.
Uh-huh, yeah, be real careful in there.
Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
Our buddy John is in Joliet. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. You know, I don't even know where to begin other than Matt Nagy. I am very proud of you that you did not run a jet sweep because that would have really put the cherry on top. Unbelievable, guys. It's time, and I know it's not going to happen, but you fired Lovie Smith after a winning season, and we're putting up 4 years of this trash, this garbage, this fluke of a coach. This man is not no guru. Oh, my God. Matt Nagy, you made me so mad. I hate exercising, but you made me go for a walk yesterday. I was so pissed.
Wow, John, that is that's pretty good.
So Matt Nagy did some good. Got John to get his steps in. That's nice. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
I don't like John.
Yeah?
Not a big John and Joliet guy. Used to be, not anymore.
What don't you like about him?
He sent some DMs to some people.
Oh!
That went public on Twitter. It just wasn't great.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
So when John calls up, I don't take his calls anymore.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Not a big John and Joliet guy.
Wow. All right. Insider information.
I'll support you.
No, I was battling with myself saying it on the air here because we used to take a lot of his calls. But like a lot of people saw his tweets, screenshots of his DMs. Wasn't a big fan of the DMs John sent.
All right. Okay. Well.
He's a man of principle over there.
I want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Should we, would you rather have him do the game plan for the Lions game or Matt Nagy? That's the question.
Matt Nagy.
Oh?
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah, that's a good
call. I didn't run that by Tanny first. That's probably why it got through, and I actually did say it, because normally I'll run things by him, but I knew he would try to steer me in the direction of not going with that one.
Okay. I have no idea what the guy said on Twitter or in DMs.
I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah, you'll have to fill me in off the air. Tanny, you've watched and hated a lot of Bears games over the years under the disguise of work. I'm curious where that one ranked in terms of pain for you yesterday.
Oh, my God. You know what? I think I'm pretty numb to all of it now, to be honest with you. Like, that one didn't – like, you hear a lot of people grandstanding on the radio today talking about how this was one of the worst ever. I heard
– I am the angriest I've ever been on Angry Days.
It's what you guys do. It's what you get paid for, so that's fine. I get it. You got to be angry. Yeah, well, Brad Biggs, you know, he referenced Terry Shea.
I heard that. Which is, Terry Shea.
That's not good. You know, it was, you know, I do have a lot of respect for the Browns. It's a pretty good defense they got out there, and considering it was Fields' first go around, I wasn't as upset as I normally would be if that were like, you know, week 10, week 11, you know. So there's been a lot of them over the years. You know, anything in the Trestman era, I think I've kind of blocked out of my mind. Obviously, Chris Conte there, that infamous play. But yeah, that was the most predictable thing in the world. Yeah, what happened yesterday. So I wish I could say I was shocked, I was angry, but look, man, we know what it is at this point, don't we?
Especially, they had three sacks as a team, that Browns defense with those edge rushers had three sacks, and the matchup with the tackles was so horrific. I just thought maybe the coach would know it too.
Yeah, that game yesterday was kind of the scenario that we had painted all offseason with this bad offensive line.
Yes.
You get killed out there, and that's almost what happened. Yeah, he literally right. almost died out there.
That's the thing. Like, as disgusted as most of us are with Matt Nagy, the Ryan Pace hate, there are five tight ends on this roster. None of them have done a thing of consequence. Not a single one.
One of them tweeted, though. He retweeted.
Yeah,
yesterday.
He did.
Oh, yeah. Love that storyline.
Do you know who the top two cap hits on offense are after Allen Robinson? The top two cap hits on this offense.
Jimmy Graham.
On the offense. Okay.
On the offense.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham. Is number three. Allen Robinson, number one. Jimmy Graham, number three. Nick Foles is number two.
Hmm. That hurts.
Those are your top three cap hits on the offense.
No, it's all good. He may start this week, so we're good on that.
Yeah, yeah, they're prepared.
Get a little more out of your investment.
Hey, I'm pretty sure he's the only one saying, though, that the offense isn't working.
Yeah, he did get caught saying that on camera. Do you
think Nick Foles could be like the next coach of the Bears? Like, he's another one of these young offensive guys.
Like Sunday?
Quarterback.
Like Sunday, maybe?
Yeah.
How about David Klingler? His name got invoked. Let's give him a shot. What the hell could go wrong? I don't know what he's doing.
Are we really going to – do you have to start a file or a folder? Didn't you used to do folders?
Yes. Brought to you by Staples.
Yeah, so we're going to do folders for an ex-Bears head coach already?
Bears head coach folders? Is it time?
3 weeks into the season?
Oh, no.
I don't want to
No.
Yeah, Nick Foles will go into the McCaskey's office and talk about synergy and collaboration. He's got big goals and dreams and visions, and boom, he's your coach right there.
You know what I flashed to this morning as I was thinking about just the McCaskey's with only Ted Phillips around that they even listen to? Our conversation with Gary Fensick. Remember that conversation where we were talking about, do they need a football czar or like somebody who knows anything about football to hang around with the family, maybe give them advice or something like that? And Gary, respected friend of the McCaskies, works closely with Bears Charities.
Yeah,
right?
And he runs it.
Absolutely destroyed them. Like, the willingness of a level-headed, super smart, thoroughly still connected to the organization guy to say, yeah, I don't know what they're doing, not bringing anybody in who knows anything about football. I don't know what to tell you.
Exactly. Another all-time great, smart guy. I got a chance to talk to Matt Forte a couple weekends ago. I asked him that question. I was like, there's so many of you guys, you think about Alex Brown and all the older guys, like, that want to be a part of it and want to help. He's like, yeah, I don't know. That's just the way they do business. We'd love to help, but that's just the way they run their team.
How about that? None of them. None of them. Olin is right here for you. He's on the air for 20 hours on a Sunday.
At least, yeah, and that's like one of the best parts of the day yesterday. Is just every time you tune in, Olin's on there
and
he's ripping someone, or you know what I mean? Like, it's awesome.
Is there a team with a deeper lineage and a deeper roster of ex-Bears who'd be willing to help and are very smart?
At least Olin is helping, right? He's helping with the guys on the O-line, so that's a start-ish.
Yeah, right? Mustafa. Olin gets some credit for that. Fairness, none of them know anything about a good quarterback. But, you know, I guess Olin played with Drew Brees outside of here, so maybe he could bring in some of that knowledge.
No, that's a good point. They'd all probably try to run the ball, Danny.
That's what would concern
and
me.
And be physical.
Bear football, bear weather.
Yeah.
That would concern me.
But there is something about building your team from the inside out.
Yes, there is.
Defense wins championships, blah, blah, blah.
From Dan Pompeo.
I'm not talking about defense. Not defense.
I know, I'm just messing with you. The offensive line. Hey, they're good guard to guard. Hey, they're good.
Shame.
They're good guard to guard.
Do you know how much money is invested in this offensive line? Dan Pompeo had this today in his thing.
Hey, they're fourth, not enough.
Fourth lowest in the NFL in terms of offensive line investment under the salary cap. And it shows. And we knew
it. Does.
They went into this season with Tevin Jenkins as a hopeful left tackle.
Okay, but here's the thing. Do we know for sure that someone is in that building telling them it's important? Offensive line? Do we know for sure?
No, we don't.
Okay, well, let's start there.
Yeah.
Let's get someone to the building.
Mm.
These guys are just...
Mm.
Matt Nagy's just doing everything exactly how he did it. And Pace even, like, having, like... you want to talk offensive line? Like,
yeah.
Investing second round picks in Daniels and Whitehair, and they're the guards. That's what they did in New Orleans.
Correct.
Because Drew Brees is short.
Correct. Drew Brees is short and steps up all the time.
Yeah. So he was not mobile. It wasn't as important about sealing the edge.
It really worked for Drew Brees.
Yeah. So it's not the same thing. This segment, by the way, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Bears coach folders.
Yep. Bears GM folders.
Hey, at least when you watch real football tonight,
mm-hmm.
LeBron James will be on the Manning cast. That was just announced. So
really? What the hell?
Oh, click.
Nick Saban and LeBron Christ. James.
All right, I am out on the Manning cast.
Nick Saban and LeBron James.
Is he going to be reading
James?
Malcolm X?
I don't think so.
Still working his way through it?
I do not think he will be reading the book, you hater.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, you won the argument, Shane.
Have anything to say, that
you
means
won
I won.
The argument because he labeled you hater.
A hater.
Sorry, the book argument that he stole from Twitter. I wasn't able to rebut it.
I started that argument.
You did? Yeah, I didn't know.
I was the first one to call LeBron out for only being on page 2 of the Malcolm X autobiography. Did he write it or what?
LeBron?
It's a Malcolm X biography of George Washington Carp.
No, it's a newer type of book situation.
I don't know.
Put a bow on this thing next. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
He keeps talking about the whys. I got to find the whys. Put a big mirror in your office. Put a why over it. Stand in front of the mirror. You found it, okay?
I talk about horse blinders and earmuffs. Don't listen to anything outside.
Sure, that will be easier said than done this week for Matt Nagy, who is being called to be fired both locally and nationally. I certainly understand the sentiment. It's just not going to happen, so I don't find it to be that interesting of discourse, personally. The McCaskies have never fired anyone in season. They're not going to fire the guy that they brought back in controversial fashion 3 weeks into the season after letting him trade a first-round pick to select his quarterback.
We were wrong about that.
Yeah.
Remember that thing where we, like, tripled down and we had a big old thing and we said six-game losing streak was good and we're locked?
Yeah.
Our bad.
Yeah, in three Sorry. Games, that's just not going to happen.
No.
So that feels a little ridiculous conversationally.
I don't know. Is there a scenario where it does happen this year?
I mean,
gets bad enough.
Yeah, if it gets bad enough and Fields looks objectively awful, you know, sure. Boomer's saying the politics is why Fields is playing, man. You could have done more to get him ready to avoid him being in that position. Right. Forget just the game plan for the week with Peters and Ifedi.
Yeah, but just over the last 3 months, you could have done more to get him ready.
Yeah. And so that's part of what's frustrating, too. It's like, okay, so you didn't do enough to get him ready,
mm-hmm.
but then you made him a play away from playing, and then you didn't play a game plan for him to his strengths. You played his game plan for the other guys, right? You tried to make Justin Fields Andy Dalton, and they're like, well, why doesn't he look ready? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because you didn't prepare him.
You ready for this big matchup of head coaches tonight? Your guy Mike McCarthy against Nick Sirianni and his skill talent?
A couple different people texted in Matt Nagy or Mike McCarthy.
Whew.
Can I coach? Is that an option?
No, it is not.
I don't think either team would hire me.
Skill talent.
Learning lessons.
I still think McCarthy's a big old fraud whose success is predicated on being surrounded by incredible offensive talent. So, yeah, no coach.
I have so many baseball thoughts yearning to breathe free, and we will get to some of them tomorrow. I know you're looking forward to that.
I can't wait.
Is all I'm saying.
I am. Hey, What did I say a few months ago? All right, let's just get to the playoffs. I know I said that like over a year ago.
Getting close now.
Yeah, getting close. This is exciting. I'm very much looking forward to the White Sox postseason.
I know you are.
That will be good time.
Playoff games coming soon. You and me in Vegas coming soon.
That's true.
And Shane.
Stadium swim, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Circa. Shane causing all sorts of trouble out there, maybe.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
doubt.
Yeah. I told Mitch the other day that I'm going to be drunk during the show, and he wasn't very happy about that.
Which show? We have a bonus Saturday show.
Yeah, 3 hours on Saturday.
Yeah, that's the drunk one.
2 to 5.
2 to 5, yeah.
2 to 5 Central.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we can drink by then. Yeah. I think so.
Noon in Vegas? That's prime drinking time.
It's always noon in Vegas somewhere. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, I think Jimmy Buffett said that.
That's what. Thank you to Boomer Esiason. Thank you to Mark Grody. Thank you to Patrick Manley, all on today's radio program. If you want more Mark Grody, and why wouldn't you? He's coming up after us. Connor O'Donnell runs the Twitch chat and video stream. Thank you, sir. Thank you to Charlotte J. They call him the Mob Father on Twitch. He gifted out his 200th sub on Twitch today. We were at nearly 1,000 people on Twitch at the start of the show. A sub is a extra level of Twitchness that I personally don't fully understand, but it's a big deal in that community.
Gotcha.
Which you don't have to watch ads during the break. You get to watch the cool videos that Connor curates.
Oh, that's neat.
Got it. So he's in that $5 a subscription. So Charlotte J has contributed over $1,000 to our dedicated Twitch audience.
That is incredible. Thank you, Jay. And Connor O'Donnell does a great job with those curated videos. It's a very fun hang and watch over there.
Yeah, so just search 670 The Score on Twitch if you want to get into the community. We normally have 400 or so people in there all show each and every day. Shane Reardon, our executive producer, thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Well, I would say it was fine.